these shootings are extreme reflections of the increased rise of white nationalist rhetoric.
The White House deflects criticism of its reaction to the New Zealand shootings. It's Tuesday, March 19th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, Muslims in Minneapolis react to New Zealand. Are white supremacists just on the fringe? Kids for Climate cut classes. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Following deadly shootings at two New Zealand mosques, U.S. President Donald Trump offered condolences but denied that white nationalism is a rising threat. The attacks are renewing debate in the United States about whether anti-immigrant political rhetoric is contributing to the rise of hate crimes. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Suara has this report.
A somber Friday prayer for American Muslims. Worshippers at the Islamic Center of Washington mourning for victims of the New Zealand mosque shootings.
Everyone that I was around was crying around me while listening to the khutbah. And I think everyone just felt this collective grief for all the victims in New Zealand.
The shootings at two Christchurch mosques during Friday prayers killed 49 people and wounded dozens of others. The White House strongly condemns the attack, calling it a vicious act of hate.
I think it's a horrible, disgraceful thing and a horrible act.
President Trump offered U.S. assistance but did not call the shooting an act of terrorism, nor does he see white nationalism as a rising threat around the world.
I don't really. I think it's a small group of people that have very, very serious problems.
The latest data from the Federal Bureau of Investigations shows a 17% increase in reported hate crimes in the U.S. The head of an American Muslim advocacy organization is holding Trump accountable.
Mr. Trump, your words matter. Your policies matter. They impact the lives of innocent people at home and globally.
A social media post by an account believed to be the shooter linked a manifesto filled with white supremacist, anti-immigrant, and anti-Muslim sentiments.
These shootings are extreme reflections of the increased rise of white nationalist rhetoric.
Metzl believes anti-immigrant and anti-minority political rhetoric have driven white nationalist ideas mainstream.
What I worry about is not just these online communities, which have been there for a long time. It's also the ways in which this particular violence against vulnerable minority communities and the rhetoric that underlies it has become much more normalized in our political sphere.
In their mourning, Muslim communities in the U.S. are increasing vigilance. In some cities like New York, worshiping is done under heavy police protection. Patsy Whitaker-Suara, VOA News at the White House.
These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. New Zealand Prime Minister says Cabinet has agreed to gun law reform. Flash floods and earthquake in Indonesia kill over 80. Indonesian vice presidential debate shines overdue light on education. Expanded coverage of these stories and more can be found on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. We continue with VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. The attack on Friday prayers at a New Zealand mosque that left 50 people dead and many more wounded reverberated around the world, striking hard at one of the largest Muslim communities here in the United States. VOA's congressional correspondent Catherine Gibson reports from Minneapolis, Minnesota, where Muslims and people of all faiths are mourning yet another attack on a house of worship.
Heartbreak.
This child was only 5 years.
For a young Somali life lost half a world away in the very same act of worship, Friday prayer. The nation's largest Somali-American community knows all too well it can happen here after a 2017 bombing of a mosque in Minnesota.
Your job is to pray and be closer to Allah or God, and our job is to keep you safe.
An increased police presence here at the mosque today in the hopes it won't happen again. But the fear is always there. particularly for the refugees of this community.
We fled from our country and flew miles away to get safety and peace. And here, when we came here, we were experiencing, you know, a lot of hate and Islamophobia is increasing. But the majority of the people are understanding our situation, and there are other minorities that feel the same way. So we can endure and change that hate and into a positive way.
Members of the community say they understand this is the act of an extremist who hurt everyone.
What happened is really a tragedy, and all humanity is hurting today, Muslims or non-Muslims.
But after President Trump tweeted words of sympathy for New Zealand, Muslim leaders called for more.
You should condemn this not only as a hate crime, but as a white supremacist terrorist attack. And you need to assure all of us, Muslims, blacks, Jews, immigrants, that we are protected.
Acts of terror in places of worship are on the rise. Last year's shooting at the Tree of Life Synagogue is very much in the minds of Minneapolis Jewish leaders as they stand in solidarity with Muslims. Catherine Gibson, VOA News, Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Residents of Christchurch have been bringing flowers and other mementos to a makeshift memorial and an online fund for the victims gathered $684,000 in a single day. The victims of Friday's shooting included immigrants from Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Turkey, Indonesia, and Malaysia. Mass shootings and violent crime are rare in New Zealand, a country of nearly 5 million people. However, the man who allegedly carried out the attack is from Australia and has reportedly traveled the world, possibly seeking other white supremacists. VOA Asia's Ira Melman got in touch with Errol Southers, a professor of national and homeland security at the University of Southern California in Los Angeles. He asked Southers if white supremacy is something more than a fringe movement.
I don't think it's any longer a fringe movement. It is certainly coming of age. It is being globalized at a very rapid pace. And unfortunately, it's getting quite a bit of traction, as we've seen most recently this past weekend.
What is leading to this?
I think what's happening is a number of things. First, you have this issue of immigration and this notion that there's a ticking clock down to the eventual, what these extremists will call, white genocide of their respective communities in nations around the world. That is one issue. The other issue is one of believing that there's no longer a place for white people. And unfortunately, this is an international threat that knows no borders, and they believe that the only way to combat this is now violence.
Hasn't this been around for decades?
Yes, it has. It has, but it's taken on a whole new tone and a whole new meaning. Number of events that have happened here in the last several years, and as you know, we don't prosecute for terrorism in the United States unless it involves a foreign ideology or a foreign country, which means there's a huge difference between a person who engages in violence up to and including murder if they're a jihadist, as opposed to if they are someone from another racial or religious or issue-oriented extremist ideology. And so although it's been around for years, this activity now has been somewhat normalized. There have been apologists for things that have happened in the last couple of years. And unfortunately, what we see here when it involves a non-jihadist are notions that there's mental health issues involving the attacker, and or the lack of any radicalization to an extremist ideology at all, almost being an apologist for the activity.
How organized is this?
Well, that's probably, if there's a silver lining, the good news. When Charlottesville had the rally 2 years ago in 2017, it was a really interesting seminal event that brought together a number of diverse organizations and ideologies, the Ku Klux Klan, League of the South, the alt-right, whole collection of organizations that typically don't play well together. But they galvanized that day, and unfortunately things went very terribly bad for them. The good news is that that event has led them to splinter again. It hasn't reduced the number of incidents we've had in the country, but at least they don't seem to be working in an organized manner. So it doesn't seem to be an organized effort in terms of groups working together. But they do agree on a couple of things, and that being white supremacy, that being white genocide, that being the fact that immigration is a problem and the cause of the problem here, and that white people no longer have a place. So they do all agree on that, but they don't necessarily agree on how it's going to be achieved.
How and why has it spread to places like New Zealand, which is not accustomed to violence?
Well, I think that the manifesto speaks for itself. The fact that the shooter decided to mention things that are happening here in the United States, decided to mention the President of the United States. This is a globalized effort, and people around the world are following what's happening here in the United States. We are the epicenter of the world for most things, and we're now the epicenter of the world in terms of how white identity is being seen. And I think that may answer the question with regards to how it's spreading and why people are engaging.
VOA Asia's Ira Melman speaking with Errol Suthers, professor of national and homeland security at the University of Southern California. Coming up, young students want a different change in the climate. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia, the number of people killed after torrential downpours triggered flash floods and mudslides that tore through mountainside villages in Indonesia's easternmost province, has climbed to 79, with dozens of others missing. On Sunday, the disaster-prone country was hit by an earthquake triggering a landslide. Visit VOA Asia Facebook each day. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, tens of thousands of Australian and New Zealand school children have skipped classes on a global day of action on climate change. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports, opposition politicians in New South Wales have encouraged students to take part, insisting the world is at a real crossroads.
Australia's School Strike for Climate movement wants the nation to commit to 100% renewable energy by 2030. And to ban a giant Indian-owned coal mine in Queensland. Rallies in Australia and New Zealand were part of a global day of action across almost 100 countries, including Spain and Germany. The movement was inspired by Greta Thunberg, a teenager from Sweden, who last year skipped school to protest with a hand-painted banner outside the Swedish parliament. Strikes were planned at 60 towns and cities across Australia. Protesters say they're frustrated at the inability of adults to take action to prevent catastrophic climate change and that they fear for their futures. Australia has just recorded its hottest summer since records began. In the nation's most populous state, New South Wales, opposition leader Michael Daly has urged students to skip classes to join climate change rallies.
They are inheriting from us a world that is at best precarious. They don't have a microphone, but they do have a democratic right to assembly. They do have a right to protest. I support these young people and their action. I think there's a real opportunity for young people to realise their own personal power.
New South Wales State Premier Gladys Berejiklian said Daly's support for striking students was grossly irresponsible. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Along with finding our full-length programs online at our voanews.com archive, you can hear us on the radio throughout Asia. Great radio stations like Radioactive at Temasek Polytechnic in Singapore. We thank everyone there who is listening to the station today and tuned into our program. We also like to thank our director, Tracy Carter, and our engineer, Nelson Lopes, managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team, Skylar Ogden, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Anna Cook. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead.